wake on up.
Wake up, wake up, wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Fitzgerald lines one to right, but right there, Carpenter catches, and the game is over. So the Tigers, the best team in the American League so far this year on this Memorial Day, and they've been especially good at home. This has been their formula. They take game one of this series by the final of 3-1.
Hey, that's our guy Dave Fleming on the call. NBC Sports Bay Area.
Yay!
3-1 the final there, as you heard from Flem, who's going to be joining us today at 8:30, by the way. It's Spadoni, it's Shasky, it's the Morning Roast. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Hope you all had a lovely, lovely Memorial Day weekend. I know Joe did, I did, Carter, Sam, all of y'all just getting off work, getting ready for work. Getting ready for, you know, finals, if it's finals week for you, whether in college, whether in high school, getting ready to finish up, heading into summer. Yesterday was the official start of summer, Joe. You know what that means? It means baseball's in full swing now. All right? You got your OTAs, I think, starting today for the Niners. So that's happening. They're voluntary ones. So some people might show up. Some people might not. It's okay. The Warrior seasons, it's been over now for a little while. Eastern Conference Finals, what was that, game four tonight between the Pacers and the Knicks. Knicks trying to extend that series even more because they extended it already to one game at least back at Madison Square Garden. But yesterday, the Oklahoma City Thunder put a stranglehold on that series, up 3-1 now in the Western Conference Finals. So it's looking like it could be OKC's year, but maybe, just maybe, Minnesota has a miracle left in them yet. But Joe, how's your weekend, man, before we get to the Gigantes?
It was always fun. You know, yep. Love the Russian River. Weather was beautiful. Got a chance to golf. And shout out to Golf Mart, man. Went in there on Friday morning. You know, put in a lot of, traded in a ton of clubs and walked away with a new wedge and a new driver.
Nice.
And was just piping the driver. And there's just, is there any better feeling than when you get a new driver and just immediately you're just hitting absolute nukes?
Yeah, that's great. Or the opposite of when you get a driver and you just hit scuds the entire time, like I was doing a couple weeks ago.
I went in there. I said, hey, I'm brand agnostic when it comes to whatever kind of club.
I like that.
No, like I just want whatever's going to work. But there's a visual to golf where, like, you've got to like the head of the club that you're swinging because it can ruin the path and the confidence and all that stuff. And I got to say, this Callaway AI smoke. Woo! You want to talk about the... Tell Rob Nen it was smoke on the water.
Hi, I'm Joe Shasky, and when I think golf clubs, I think Callaway, right? It doesn't matter.
Time out. I have a TaylorMade wedge. Okay. I have a Cleveland 64 wedge. I have Ping eye blades that I'm still rocking. I've got a Ping fairway wood, and now I've got the Callaway driver. So I'm all over the place. The bag is all with an Odyssey putter.
Major bag alert right there. And shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Finance. There. You know what was popping this weekend? Laughing Monk. And we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. It was beautiful here in the Bay Area. It was gorgeous in San Francisco. And Oakland, a little windy. At times a little windy. Mm-hmm. That's okay, but that's the Bay, right? You get some wind. Yeah. You'll get some wind. But that's fine. I would like some wins, if you will, for the San Francisco Giants as they took an L yesterday. But they did win the series overall in Washington on this road trip right now. So I'm not going to be too hard on them. And they are currently 8 games over 500 heading into June here in a few days, Joe. So just your overall feel of this team right now, because the Detroit Tigers, you heard it from Lund there, they're the best team in the American League. They're in the playoffs last year. They won a series. They're really good. Outside of you know Scooble, their top dog, who's looking to go back to back Cy Youngs, guy's just absolutely filthy. If you're a Giants fan, you're probably happy you're not going to see him during this stretch because he was absolutely filthy the other day. But outside of that, like, you don't really have a household name in that line to really fear. Yeah, Javi Baez is one. He's been that's a name that you saw like with the Cubs. And he's actually been pretty good this year overall. He's, for the length of that contract, has been pretty awful. Just going by average, but he's batting .286 this year. You get the Riley Greens, who's one of their top prospect at one point. The Spencer Torkelsons, they got beef there, but no one that outright you fear in said lineup. That being said, Birdsong goes 4 1/3 yesterday, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 6 Ks, 2 walks. Kind of a mixed bag there, if you will. getting back in the swing of things of actually being a starter.
So you're asking about, like, how do you feel about the team right now?
Yeah.
Like, it's so funny how in sports now, I just feel like we've kind of jumped the shark. And where I'm going at is, like, the Niners. Anything short of a Super Bowl is a lousy season. It's like, okay, that made a lot of sense given the roster that they had and how many times they've been knocking on the door. I don't know if that's necessarily how I'm going to view that team coming into this year. Anything less than a title for the Golden State Warriors is a bad year. And look, I was frustrated with how the year ended, but if we take a step back and I show a little perspective, they made a crazy trade in the middle of the year that salvaged the season. They had a fun little run. Now, because you have Steph Curry, that does change the equation. And, like, you know, you only have so many years left of him. So you're going to try to squeeze one last title out of it.
Sure.
So I get being uberly disappointed.
Sure.
Now, when I look at the Giants, there's not one player that screams, I'm a championship-level player, and every year you don't get to the playoffs and every year you don't win it all is a wasted year. Like, I don't get that same sense of urgency. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so I think about my fandom. And it's actually quite refreshing watching the Giants. And the reason why I say that is I really like the team that they put together. Now, do I think that they're a legitimate championship contender? Not at all. Not at all.
I was going to pause you. Could you imagine yourself this time last year saying that? Just real quick. It's May 27th. This time last year, could you imagine Joe Shasky then saying, I actually really like this team right now.
Well,
like, that's great. Like, you like the construction of the team. That's one thing. That's crazy.
Not only do I like the construction of the team, but I actually like the way they're playing. I think that's important, too.
Okay.
And we can get into a whole Bob Melvin conversation about small ball and pitching and all that. Last year, they told me about how great their rotation was going to be, and it didn't really come to fruition for a long time. Now, remember, last year around this time, Blake Snell was coming off the DL, right? He got off to a really slow start. You didn't have a shortstop. You were DFA Nick Ahmed, and you had a bunch of guys like Brett Wisely and Fitzgerald who were out of position. You were leading baseball in errors at that spot. And Jungwoo Lee was out for the year with a shoulder injury. Ramos had yet to really establish himself. It was right about now when they got called up, and he went on a tear, right? So I'm trying to give perspective.
Not a lot of hope last year when it comes to some of the young players and prospects.
No, there really wasn't. And quite frankly, there was a lot of yo-yoing around regarding platoons and playing the matchups and things like that. Chapman was on a one-year deal, and he got off to a slow start. I really like the team that they've built. I do. I think there are a lot of really nice pieces on this team. I think that there are some great stories on the team. Robbie Ray recovering from Tommy John, having the bounce back season that he's had, he has been dynamic.
Yeah.
It's been a great trade. Now, you made a horrible signing with Mitch Haniger, but you ended up trading him and DeSclafani to the Seattle Mariners, and you got a guy who was injured at the time in Robbie Ray. And that, you know what, Farhan, that was a great trade. Mm-hmm. It really was. It took some time for that to materialize, but after signing a bad two contracts in DeSclafani and Mitch Haniger, you unloaded them for a really, really, really good player in Robbie Ray. Now, he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I don't know what you do with him. Let's put that to the side. Logan Webb has been a good player under the Farhan regime and into the Buster Posey regime. Those are two guys that are anchoring your rotation right now that are just studs, absolute studs, all right? The bullpen has been elite. Randy Rodriguez, Eric Miller, obviously Tyler Rogers, Camilo Duvall. I would even throw Ryan Walker. For as frustrating as Giants fans are right now with Ryan Walker, I think overall the bullpen has been elite. Jordan Hicks, though a failed starter, looks really good in the bullpen. And I thought yesterday had another good outing.
Where he's comfortable or been comfortable in the past.
Absolutely. And so I want to give Farhan some credit here. He assembled the bulk of this team, I think, if you're being realistic. And I really like this team. I look at the everyday players. Jungwoo Lee, this is who they thought they were getting last year. He's been really good this year. I know the average has dipped lately. I think he had the most hits last week of the entire team. And the entire team is struggling offensively. Yastrzemski's really cooled off, but he's been a really good Giant for this entire tenure. Elliot Ramos, they didn't trade him away. They kept him. Now, I believe there's a combination of factors as to why he's giving you the season that he's giving you. The defense hasn't been great, but offensively, I think he's your team MVP.
Yeah.
I personally do. Matt Chapman, you signed to a long deal. I give Buster credit there, but Farhan did originally sign him, right, to a one-year deal.
Yeah.
We get to Adamas. Let's just bookmark Adamus. We got a lot of questions there. Tyler Fitzgerald, Farhan drafted him. He's been a good pick.
Yeah.
He's had a really good season. Lamont Wade Jr. has been awful, but he's had moments for this team in years past. Whatever. Wilmer, that's a Farhan guy. He's been phenomenal. Where would this team be without Wilmer? I mean, I'm going all around the diamond. And then we get to Patrick Bailey, and he's been dreadful, okay? And we can get into a conversation there. They put together a really nice team. They just lack the same thing that we've been talking about for quite some time. That centerpiece headliner guy. And so you ask me, like, how are you doing this year? I'm really enjoying the ride that the Giants are on. Bob Melvin's been pushing all the right buttons. They're playing small ball. I like the way he's utilized his bullpen. But I keep coming back to, boy, they could use that legitimate number three or four hole bopper. And I look at Chapman. I look at Jung-Hoo. I look at Adamus. I look at Ramos. If you just added one factor bat into the middle of this lineup, this could be a playoff team. And that would be an unbelievable season for Giants fans.
Well, right now, again, the season doesn't end on you know, May 27th, but they would be a wild card team right now if the season did end. They'd be that third wild card spot. They are right now a game ahead of the St. Louis Cardinals for said third wild card spot.
Did you see the graphic?
They're only a couple games back of the first place Dodgers, who are 33-21. They're not exactly like running away with
right
now. And do they even have a healthy pitcher right now in L.A.?
Yeah, Yamamoto.
There you go. That's
he's under two ERA.
Yeah, you're right. He's been sensational. But outside of that, they don't have anyone.
Literally nothing. And they've signed all the pitchers.
Yes, yes.
But no, your point is well taken. And I don't know, did you see the graphic yesterday that kind of went around?
There's a lot. Baseball? Which one? Enlighten me.
Okay. Memorial Day is kind of the day that everyone circles like, okay, this is like an indication of the team that you've built. Right?
And, sure.
And then there's this...
A check mark, kind of.
Yeah, like, yeah. Okay, now it's been 2 months. We got a kind of a feel. And like, what are your holes? What do you need? 9 of the 12 teams last year that were in playoff position ended up making the playoffs.
Hmm.
So if you look up today, Giants fans, you're one of those 12 teams today that is sitting in a playoff spot. That doesn't mean you're going to be a playoff team, but it's a good indication of what you've kind of assembled. And I think there's going to be a dogfight the rest of the summer for them to maintain their status and for them to continue to fight for a wild card spot. And unlike the Warrior kind of craziness with Steph Curry and unlike the Niner, just the NFL product in general, where anything less than a Super Bowl feels like a failure, which is so unfair, this has been a fun ride for the Giants. And just making the playoffs would be an outstanding accomplishment this year.
Well, they always say what? What's the term? I think it was Billie Jean King as the French Open's going on right now. But it was pressure is a privilege. That's what it is. So
I like
the amount of pressure you have.
I like that.
And not to say that these players and coaching staff don't have pressure on them. But when you do the compare and contrast here in the Bay Area when it comes to our coverage of sports, yeah, there's a certain window now with the Stephen Curry Golden State Warriors that there's a different level of pressure on those guys than, let's say, the San Francisco Giants. And obviously with the San Francisco 49ers, who are a year removed from being in a freaking Super Bowl, right? And Kyle's been to two now, and some of these players have been to two Super Bowls and haven't been able to get it done. There's a level of pressure there that we don't really bestow on the San Francisco Giants right now because they've been in this weird kind of influx, mired in mediocrity. Do you like Farhan tonight? I don't think anything. That's the worst thing you could be.
I know.
I don't have a take on him. It's just like, I don't feel one way or the other. That's the worst thing you can say about him. I actually kind of like this team, too. I don't know why. They're fun to watch.
There's a lot of guys to root for, and there are a lot of what I call, like, just good ball players. But this is where I think...
And some familiar faces I do think helps. Because
why do you say that?
Because Bob Melvin is a familiar face. Whether he was a player with San Francisco, he was a manager on the opposite side, he's a Bay Area guy, he gets it. Like, he has the right temperament, he gets it. Now, you know, when it comes to some of his bullpen decisions, when it comes to, you know, the playoff stuff, but that... You know what? As far as I'm concerned, that was back in Oakland. That's a clean slate here in San Francisco. But it's a part of it. Matt Chapman, it's a guy we've seen, again, across from the Bay.
He's an
easy guy to root for. He's been on the station. We've interviewed him. Great guy. Family guy. I think he had a child. Yes. He's a great
baby
dude.
Baby
girl. There you go. Great guy. And then, you know, you get some of these, like the Logan Webbs of the world. Again, Sacramento, not very far from here. Grew up like in Bay Area sports. You have some familiar faces, and then you add some guys that have cachet. Justin Verlander's one of them. Now it's a pitcher. It's not the same as if I had, I don't know, a Pete Alonso every single day in there. But it's a name, nonetheless. And then you thought you were getting that. Maybe, just maybe. Not that he's a household name, but he provides a spark, is a Willy Adames. And that's going to be a conversation we're going to have at some point today. He was your big, huge signing this offseason, Joe. In an offseason full of major signings, the Juan Sotos of the world, right? I think Jerkson Profar got like 3 years, $40 million. Anthony Santander, he got a bunch of money. There was a lot of huge signings. Max Fried, obviously, a pitcher there. He's been balling for the Yankees. But it hasn't really worked out thus far. Now, when you're winning and you're 8 games over .500, okay, it's fine. It's not really a huge problem. If it was the inverse, if your losses were your win total and you were 8 games under .500, yeah, I think there'd be some people saying, yeah, you whiffed on that one, Buster. I don't know about that. This isn't looking very good. It's early, and I do like the try-hard nature of Willy Adames. I know what he's going to have emotionally every single game, but it is tough to watch, especially in the losses. When you go, 0 for 4, 0 for 5, you have a golden sombrero here or there, a platinum sombrero. When it's a struggle to watch at times. And he's not the only one.
No.
I'm looking at Patrick Bailey, who, again, catchers seem to get a little bit of a pass when it comes to their offense at times. But when I look up and I see a .172, yeah, it's tough. I'm not saying that this season hasn't been a success, but we could talk about success all we want. We could also talk about some of the things that haven't been as good so far, because we are excited about this team, and maybe they are maybe a bat or two at the deadline away from really competing here, because I believe, Joe, in Logan Webb and Robbie Ray's 1-2 punch.
I do, too.
That carries in the playoffs.
And I think that Birdsong, he's getting stretched out right now, so like they don't want to have him go more than like 85 pitches. I was listening to Flem, and he was explaining that he had a pregame conversation with Bob Melvin, and Bob Melvin's like, look, we're hoping to get him, 4 or 5, maybe 6, depending on the pitch count, his limit. He's a stud, though. I think we can all see that. He struck out Gleyber Torres yesterday twice. The guy struck out 17 times all year. Like, he is a guy who doesn't strike out, and he was even commenting in postgame, that kid is coming. He's special.
Yeah.
Kyle Harrison had a start over the weekend. I thought it was a good one.
Yeah.
I did. I thought it was a good one. They've got this kid, Wisenhunt, in AAA, who's just tearing it up. They have young arms. They have some gritty veterans. Verlander, though he has not had a win yet, has been really good. I know we don't want to give him credit, but he's been good. Okay, maybe not really. He's been good. And I feel like maybe the unfortunate nature of baseball, sometimes you don't get run support.
Right.
The bullpen blows the game, whatever. You're looking at a top three just staff in general, bullpen and rotation. And the bullpen has been the anchor of the team, and they can work backwards. That was the hallmark of the Bochy era, was knowing what you were going to do in the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th innings, depending on how deep your starter went. And right now they've got a weapon that no one's talking about in baseball, who I think actually might be their all-star. Randy Rodriguez.
Ooh.
Randy Rodriguez has been used in so many high leverage situations that aren't the 9th inning. He is a stud. We talked about him last year. I said to Sam, I remember, and I don't want you to jump up yet. We can get to it on the other side. But we talked about it, him and I said, this kid has an electric arm. If he can just figure it out, he's got a wipe away slider. He's got a dynamic fastball. They have built an elite bullpen. That's what wins in September and October. The problem is they need to have a complimentary bat and an offense to get themselves a lead. Here's the stat I'm looking at, and I do want to get into who's struggling and who's not. This team is 19-6 when they score first. 19-6. What does that tell you? It tells you this team is a get a lead and let's run away with the game type of a team. They're not an offense that's going to claw back and get into it. That's not them. Now, Detroit, the team they're playing, top three in defense, top three in pitching, top three in runs scored. They're a very well-balanced team. The Giants are not.
And how do they become more well-balanced? Well, keep winning, and then if you keep winning, then you could address some of these things at the deadline. And if you're just even around .500, I think this team will swing a move. I don't know what the move is going to be, if it's going to be a big one, if it's going to be a major one. We always felt like, because with Farhan, we knew it was going to happen. You're not making a big move. You may talk the talk. You're not going to walk the walk. Like the Chris Bryant thing, I guess in hindsight that was a huge move. And we were all excited about it because it was right at the deadline, right? Right when it was at 1 o'clock or whenever it was. And then you brought him in. He was okay. He was solid.
And he was whatever. But
clearly, fell off after that. He's been a Rocky. And I don't even. Is he lost in the mountains up there in Colorado?
He hasn't played, I swear to God, but 5 games.
Talk about just all-time, just worst teams you've ever seen in your life. I know we were talking about the White Sox last year, and they were awful, and then the A's in the season prior to that. This Rockies team. Oh my God, Joe.
What's
they
crazy?
It bothers me so awful.
What's crazy too is like, unlike the White Sox and some of the other teams, their payroll is middle of the pack.
Well, that's the thing. If people are going to the games, they still get like sellouts. Why are you going to watch this such an awful season?
Hey, everyone talks about baseball, the attendance. The Detroit Tigers are getting an average of 37,000 for day games this year.
And it's not cold in Detroit during the summertime. It's actually really hot and humid and sticky. We'll pick this conversation up on the other side. It's going to be brought to you by Lucky California.
Wilmer is having a career year.
He is.
It's pretty special. And I do believe that Wilmer's unbelievable success, Ramos to a degree, Fitz to a degree, Jungho Lee to a degree, has overshadowed the struggles of some of the other people. And getting off to an 8-1 start really gave them the infrastructure and the leeway to kind of be basically a 500 team since then.
Right. Now, that's Joe Shasky. I'm Joe Spadoni. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Hope you all had a lovely Memorial Day week. And we're talking orange and black. We're talking some Giants. It feels good to talk about this team because they've been playing so well, Joe.
Yeah.
And Sam and I were just talking about it, and we'll get into this player in a second because they're replaying the game here in the studios right now on NBC Sports Bay Area. And you heard the guy on the call right there on the rejoin, Dave Fleming, who called the game yesterday in Detroit. Voice of the San Francisco Giants and R95 the Game Giants Insider joining us at 8:30 today. So we got Flem live from Motown, 8:30 right here on 95.7 The Game. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't time for you to discover the islands, river, islands, and Lathrop. But we were just talking about it, Sam and I. Why this team feels just a little different. It feels refreshing to talk about. There's no drama. There's just none with this team right now. Now, drama is a double-edged sword. And especially in radio, more drama is actually, it's usually a good thing because, you know, you could have a take one. Oh, Kyle Shanahan, I'm done with him. Brock Purdy, how could you pay him that much? Oh, wait, it's not that bad of a contract. But how could you still pay him that much? Oh, my God, Jimmy Butler's not the answer. Jonathan Kuminga, Steve Kerr, right? And then you go to this Giants team. Oh, Willie Adames, he's struggling, I guess. But they're winning. It's okay. He's only been here for a couple months. Like, if Willie Adames and, you know, Patrick Bailey and their offensive struggles are the thing that I'm most frustrated about, I'd say things are going pretty well in San Francisco, just given what we were talking about the last few years. When bringing up the Giants, you just thought of one man and one man only every single time, Joe. Farhan! It's always Farhan, right? And now he's gone. And honestly, a weight's been lifted, I think, for a lot of the fan base when it comes to talking about this team.
Well, yes, there's no doubt that the weight has been lifted. But you have to also give him credit. Like, he put a lot of things in place that are now looking a lot better. Now, we could argue about how they were utilized and how they're being utilized now.
Yeah, that's what I would go to. Like, that's great. You can get the players, but you need to put those players in positions to succeed.
Agreed.
And give them those reps. And you know what? Bob Melvin, Buster Posey, I think they've done that, you know, just seamlessly.
Yeah, and there's no doubt. But I do want to talk about one of the big decisions that this organization has made. And we'll get to Willie Adames, because that's a huge decision, too. You gave that guy the largest contract in Giants free agent history, and it has not been good. And I look at him, and I look at Chapman, and I say to myself, guys, we are where we are in the standings, and you have done very little, the two of you, and I expect more. And when you're making the most on the team, you know, more is asked of you. But one of the big seminal moments where this organization truly was, I guess, seismically shifted from the Bobby Evans Saban era to the Farhan era was, we're moving off Joey Bart and we're going to Patrick Bailey. And in my heart of hearts, I don't think that Joey Bart is a franchise player. I don't think he's even a major league starter, quite frankly. I don't know. Maybe he's a fringe starter, right? Like, I will leave that open, and I'm always open to being wrong. He's 28 years old. You know, Joey Bart is. He's had 855 at-bats in the bigs. 202 hits. Okay? He had a really good year last year as a backup player for the Pittsburgh Pirates. His defense isn't as good as Pat Bailey's, but it's coming around. His offense is better, though. And I look at Pat Bailey, and for as down bad as Joey Bart was to start his career, you look up, and they have almost the same amount of at-bats. In fact, Bailey has more. And somehow Joey Bart's got 10 more career hits. You look up, and the guy's got the same amount of RBIs as Pat Bailey. And right now, Pat Bailey has 16 career home runs. Last year alone, Joey Bart had 14. Okay? Now, home runs aren't everything. How you handle the staff does matter, right? And I do believe that Patrick Bailey is a big part of why this bullpen is as good as they are.
Oh, well, I got some stats for you, Joe, when it comes to Patrick Bailey. You want to hear them? This is courtesy of FanGraphs. It's actually kind of crazy. So his offensive rating, so this is just with catchers with a minimum of 150 plate appearances.
Just
so this is the top 20 catchers right now.
In baseball.
In baseball.
This is for this year.
This is this year.
I look that up. Catchers, league-wide average is 242.
It's bad. I'm not even getting to that part.
Yes.
So I'm just getting into the offense right now. So we're just going with the offensive ratings from the catching position. So that's batting and base running combined.
Yes.
All right? So Cal Raleigh, number one. He has a 16.7. Will Smith, some of the better ones, right?
Will Smith's the stud.
Carlos Narvaez, the Logan O'Hop. Is it O'Hoppy? O'Hop, however you pronounce it. Those guys, those top four guys are probably the best. And it goes from 16.7, 13.6. But there's a huge drop-off between Cal Raleigh and Will Smith. So it might even just be a two-catcher race when it comes to offense. And then you get all the way to the bottom, and number 20. This is the top 20. It's Patrick Bailey with a negative 10.8 when it comes to the batting average and the base running combined. That's what that is right there. It's not very good. It's the worst when it comes to the top 20 catchers. But on the flip side, we go to defense for the catching position, mm-hmm. which is fielding and positional adjustment combined.
It doesn't have the framing stats, which he's elite at.
But he's number one there.
I know.
So it's literally maybe the worst starting catcher offensively, but defensively you get the best starting catcher. So it's this weird thing, and I hear you. They clearly love it. The staff loves him. But you can't be the worst of all these guys offensively. You've got to give me something.
Well, and that's the problem right now. Look, he's not the only one. There are guys making way more money. But the reality is that catcher is kind of a hole for them offensively. When Sam Huff comes into the game, I actually feel like they're going to do more offensively.
Right.
Which is a wild sentence.
Like I couldn't pick that guy up who's walking down the street.
But my point about Joey Bart and Pat Bailey was, I guess more like, we gave up on Joey Bart too soon. That's number one. And number two, Pat Bailey's got to get it going offensively to justify playing him every day. Yes, defense is like no doubt you can be a defensive-minded guy, and if you're handling the staff and you're doing all those things, of course that's important. You have got to be near 200, though.
Bat 172, man. Again, this is the top 20 catchers right now in baseball, just going off plate appearances, Joe, which is a minimum 150. All those other guys are at least in the 200. Austin Wells is the closest for the Yankees. He's batting 205 at least. At least he's batting 205.
Joe.
Joey Bart, by the way, batting 240.
In his over 800 at-bats in a career, he strikes out 250 times. So this is a guy, one in every four at-bats, give or take, he's going to strike out and not even put the ball in play. So we do have a very big hole. He's got six doubles this year with one home run. That's not good enough, like not driving in it. Now, situationally, I do believe he's had some very clutch RBIs this year. If you've watched all the games, he has had some clutch moments, and that does absolutely factor in. But Bailey has got to get going, and he's not the only one on this team, but he's 14 for his last 85. He's mired in a 2-for-19 slump currently. And when I look at these three positions right now that are struggling for the Giants, corner outfielder in Yaz and Matos, those two combined in that right field spot, I've really cooled off. Yaz is 3 for his last 23. Now, he's been good this year overall, but 3 for his last 23. Lamont Wade Jr. at first base, 3 for his last 17, 17 for 85 overall. And then Bailey, 2 for his last 19, 14 of his last 85. You're looking at three positions to me that can, should, and must be upgraded if this team wants to make a playoff run.
That catching one's tough, though. When it comes to, and you already gave the stat, where what are we, around 240 is the average for his
starting
catcher?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. So you're looking at batting average this year, and this is not everything, but it's something. 242 is the league-wide batting average for catchers, and that includes a lot of defensive first backup catchers who play every two or three days.
Sure. So, you know, outside of the big boys, as I mentioned, the Will Smiths, the Cal Raleighs of the world, right? The Audi Rushmans, a.k.a. Adley Rushmans of the world, who's kind of struggling this year.
He's having a bad year.
The Orioles stink.
Baltimore's one of the worst teams in baseball.
They stink. They're done. They might have missed their window, and they look like they're going to just blow it all up. And again, if that's going to be the case, maybe you're going to start sniffing around there. If you're the San Francisco Giants, right? Like, I'm looking at a guy like, every time, and if you do fantasy baseball, you know this name. Alejandro Kirk, so, I swear to God, is batting 290 every year as a catcher.
Okay.
That's the guy I would want right now. Can you go get him from Toronto?
He's got this year and then next year.
Did you write him down? We didn't even talk about that.
I have him right here. So there are certain trade targets, right? So Danny Jensen, he's 30, you know. Jose Trevino, he's older. These are guys that would be like one-year rentals. Guys that you would get who could be available for this year and would have another year of team control. My two top targets in terms of offensive boosting. Alejandro Kirk, 26 years old, batting 287 for Toronto Blue Jays. And then Ryan Jeffers, 27, about to turn 28, batting 266 for the Minnesota Twins.
Minnesota.
Right? Now, both of these guys, you're taking a slight step back defensively, but their offensive production would be sorely needed in this lineup.
All right. We touched on Patrick Bailey. Let's touch on the guy that is the highest paid player in the history of the franchise coming up. That's one Willy Adames, who is struggling. Is his seat getting hot? Shasky, Spadoni, we're going to touch on that. It's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. And by the way, coming up today at 4 o'clock, the Valkyries, who have won two in a row now, Joe, they're hot. They took out the LA Sparks on Friday. Did you see that?
They were the talk of the weekend.
Were they really?
The amount of people asking me if I could get them tickets was unbelievable.
It's crazy you say that. The amount of people in my family that are also asking for Valkyries tickets.
I
can't get them. What do you think? I could get them for you?
That's what I tried to explain.
And by the way, coming up at 4 o'clock today, the Valkyries taking on the New York Liberty, the defending champs. And you can hear the game on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. Kevin Dana and Sophia Jones will have the call. In the meantime, we're talking about the Gigantes, who fell yesterday. Final score 3-1 to the Detroit Tigers. Detroit's got the most wins in baseball. They're a really good team. There's no shame in that. But you would like the offense to get going a little bit here. Maybe we know what the offense is on this team. They're a pitch, get a lead, a slim lead, if any lead, and pitch their way through it kind of a team. But you know what? That's not unfamiliar with Giants fans. We saw that back in 2010, right? We've seen that in the 2012, 2014 seasons of the world, right? But it's a little different this year, and it's fun. Now, there's a player I'd like to join in on the fun, Joe, and I think that he could take us to the next level if I'm a Giants fan. And I'm just waiting for him to break out finally. And he thought you had it a couple weeks ago, but it just went back to the mean. It's Willy Adames. I mean, this is a guy who signed a fat contract in the offseason, 7 years, $182 million. The highest paid player in the history of the franchise. And it's been a struggle, to say the least. Batting 205, he looks lost at the plate at times. He's had some errors defensively. Just, it hasn't been good.
Yesterday, in particular, I mean, he's in the middle of a 2-for-23 slump. Yesterday, he strikes out on a slider that I thought was way off the plate. Then he comes up on first and second, one out, and you're like, all right, dude, be patient. Like, try to drive something. Let's get these guys over. Like, boom, just a tailor-made rollover ground out to shortstop. Mm. And then late in the game, after Wilmer gets a base hit in the ninth inning, I'm thinking maybe a pinch run for Wilmer because he's kind of slow. He's swinging at the first pitch and just hits a little tiny chopper to the shortstop, and Wilmer's out by a step, and it's just like, God, Adames, like, what is going on? I've seen him check swing 7 or 8 times in the last, I'd say, week or so, which tells me it's in his head and it's fundamental. It's both. It's mechanics and it's in his head.
Pee or get off the pot, right? That's basically what it is when it comes to that stuff. Should the check swings drive you nuts? I guess there's going to be a new system they're trying to implement with the check swings. I've read they're trying to do some sense. Like, again, we're talking about rule change.
Okay.
We'll get to rule changes, by the way, because I know you're very adamant about a certain rule change when it comes to sports. Baseball, basketball, otherwise. And we'll get into that some point today. I promise. Dave Fleming joining us at 8:30, by the way, as well. Voice of the San Francisco Giants, who is in Detroit. We'll talk some orange and black with him as well. But we're talking about offensive rating. We were doing the exercise of Patrick Bailey when it came to his ranking amongst his peers, right? And he was dead last in almost all offensive categories. But defensively, he was the best by a wide margin, by the way, too. If I just do the same thing, which you don't go in shortstops, and this is courtesy of FanGraphs. They crunch their numbers, and they know their stuff. Out of all shortstops, when it comes to just the minimum of 150 plate appearances, offensively, Willy Adames, 24th.
Mm.
24th. It's negative 7.1 offensively in his offensive rating. It's just not good. It hasn't been good. And when it comes to a fan base right now, that again, as I mentioned last segment, there's no drama, right? You know, with the Warriors, with the Niners, we tend to get a little, you know, frustrated because of the expectations. We saw the Brandon Ayuk early on last year. The Boo Birds came out in what, game 3 on Brandon Ayuk? Hell, felt like they could have gone out in game 1 or 2. We've seen that. We saw the Boo Birds. Hell, I heard Chase Center, and this was last year, mind you, but still. Remember that Raptors game where they just got absolutely destroyed at Chase Center? Just destroyed. And the Boo Birds that were out then for that team, hell, there might have been some boos at Chase Center when they were in that stretch this year from like December and January on. There might have been. It was that bad. But that's because of the expectations, right? And right now, the Giants, the expectations for a lot of fans in the season was what? Oh, we'll see, right? Hey, we'll see. I don't know. They might be good. They might be solid. Just don't be bad, please. And they've been pretty good. 8 games over .500. So even though he is struggling, because the team is good, I think fans are still willing to give him a chance here. And, you know, you got to give him a chance. He signed for a fat contract. He's going to be here for the next 7 years, right? Right, you'd think. But where are you at, Joe? You're wearing a Giants hat right now. Garlic fries and baseball guys, you and Sam have probably talked about this all season long. Willy Adames, what's going on there? And how do you feel just watching him as a fan right now and the contract that he signed, everything baked into the equation with Willy Adames? How are you feeling right now with him?
I mean, extremely underwhelmed, obviously, regarding his output. The tough part for me is that, like, I watch every night. And like all Giants fans, body language plays a big part in how I view someone, right? And whether that's fair or not.
That's a big thing for you, body language, just players in general.
Well, it's not just his body language. It's the body language of others and how they react to him. And then his body language when others are succeeding or failing as well. Like, I'm a big believer in this. I think he really is scuffling and it's in his head a little right now. There's clearly some mechanical stuff as well. Like, he's rolling over a lot, so he's either casting or he's coming over the top of the ball too much. But I'm not seeing him be affected to where he's slumping in the dugout, and then it's bringing everyone down, right? There was something about Aaron Rowan when he struggled. It felt like he was just miserable. You know what I mean? Miserable. And it would bring everyone down. When Barry Zito was struggling, it was like this big dark cloud around him.
His head would just sink. Right?
He was totally mental. And you could feel the entire team kind of sink on a day when Barry Zito was starting. It was the reverse of Lincecum. Lincecum elevated everyone. Was like, all right, we can win this game. All we need is a couple hits. Whereas Barry Zito was like, oh no, we gave up two quick ones. Yeah, this one's over. And like, then there's someone in the middle, like Brandon Belt, who doesn't act at all, kind of slumped shoulders, but doesn't throw a tantrum. Not that Willie throws tantrums, but like the sense I get from him, he's frustrated with his own struggles. And then I'm not seeing him be a bad teammate and not root for others. So like it gives him more leeway. And like, I like what he represents. I like what he's about. He clearly wants to win. He clearly is an infectious personality around the team. The guys respond to him. But when I see him come up to the plate in the ninth inning, I have zero faith that he's going to drive the ball into the gap. Joe, his at-bats aren't good. He's swinging and uppercutting and everything right now, and it's really bad. And it's hard for me not to also look at all of the young phenom shortstops in baseball and then all of the high-priced free agents that have been bouncing around and say, did we pick the wrong one?
I mean, I'm going to bring up a player that we were talking about before the show and the player that you're playing against this weekend. Like, Javi Baez was a guy that signed a big deal, big contract. He had a lot of success, won a World Series with the Chicago Cubs. I'm not saying these are the same players, but I saw some of those struggles that I'm seeing right now with Willy Adames with Javi Baez these last few years in Detroit, where it just looked like, where did the player go? Where did that confidence? Is this just that bad? The chase rate, everything was just so awful. And another guy that, similar to Adames, fiery, excited, like, God, who didn't like watching Javi Baez play when he was a Chicago Cub? Who didn't like watching Willy Adames play when he's a Milwaukee Brewer, right? Not saying they are the same player, but I've seen the struggles, and, you know, obviously the shortstop career of Javi Baez seems like it's over. They moved him, what, center field now?
He looks great in center field.
But he looks great, and he's credited to that, I guess, yeah. His approach with everything. It was almost a different mindset. I'm not saying he pulled the plug on Willie Adames right now as a shortstop.
No.
I'm not saying that. But it just goes to show sometimes it could be a change here or there. It could be a change into the outfield from the infield, and it's maybe a weight lifted off the player's shoulders for a time. I don't know what the weight is right now. Is it of the contract? Is it of the slump? Is it everything involved? Is it him trying to ingratiate himself into this fan base? But clearly it's a lot on the guy right now, and you're seeing it. But again, I don't think, and I saw Bonte, he tweeted this yesterday. He's been obviously doing work with the Giants pre and post. And we were talking about on Friday, actually, when he was in for his weekly hour at 9 o'clock, and Lubman doing a hell of a job filling in for you on Friday. But we were talking about, he's like, oh, the seat might be getting hot. And I was like, what does that even mean?
Oh, I just think frustration from Giants.
No. But, like, when you say hot seat, that means, like, something bad is going to happen eventually. Is there something bad that's going to happen with Willie Adames? I mean, he's the made man at this point, right? He's on $180 million.
Yeah, but there's also, like, you're behind the eight ball already. Like, you don't have a lot of equity with the fan base because you're not one of the homegrown guys, right? And there's something about this fan base with homegrown guys. They just give them the benefit of the doubt. They just always will. So not only, like,
I think this area in general, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not only do you start from scratch with the fan base, you're now kind of in the hole because you signed such a large contract. And then you also compare and contrast to Carlos Correa, who the Giants flirted with and then had a contract and then didn't, even though he hasn't been great with Minnesota.
And but, you know, I'm going to give that one a pass because of the medical. Like, and if you think
I'm not saying that. I'm not even mad today about that. I'm just saying that's a guy you woulda, coulda, shoulda had, okay?
Sure. Okay?
And that contract, in retrospect, feels absurd, okay? Dansby Swanson, who's killing it for the Cubs right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was a guy that was out there that was available a couple years ago. Corey Seager was available a couple years ago, a guy that you had a first-hand look at in the division with the Dodgers for a long time. He went to Texas, they won it all.
So good.
Okay? Trey Turner was in division and became a free agent. Now, he wanted to go back to the East Coast, but it felt like you were never really in